coffee session with Heather and Karina and also our head of school, Ian Van Drill, today. So welcome. This is our second BYO coffee session. If you happen to miss our first one, you can find a link to it in the School of Biomedical Sciences newsletter, which is found on the School of Biomedical Sciences website. So I'm Karina Waller. I'm an Associate Professor in Teaching and Learning in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology and also the Deputy Program Director for the Bachelor of Biomedicine. And I'm joined by my colleagues today, Heather Verkade, who I'll introduce to you in a moment. But first of all, I'd like to throw to our Head of School, Professor Ian Van Drill, to say a few words to us all.
Thanks, Karina. I just wanted to put my face to a name. Many of you probably aren't aware that you're in, largely speaking, the School of Biomedical Sciences, which comprises five departments, of which many of them teach into the biomedical degree. So I just wanted to say hello and welcome you again to this chat, but also to thank you for your participation online over this semester. Obviously, it was a big upheaval for all of us. And I wanted to thank the staff, but also the students for all the efforts that they've put in over this semester in helping to make this semester work under quite trying circumstances. I think as we've gone through the semester, glitches have been worked out. And certainly as we go into the second semester, we'll see all those glitches ironed out completely, I hope, and to move to a format which is more or less built for the online teaching modality that we are now entering. I guess I'd point out that we were sort of planning to go down this route over the next couple of years, but the COVID-19 pandemic made us move to that position within a couple of weeks. And I think the silver lining is that very near term, we'll have a great offering of subjects in the biomedical area using and exploiting the new sorts of technologies which we have at our disposal now. I just wanted to also flag to you what will be happening in second semester, at least what the plans are for our school and the university in terms of delivery of our teaching offerings in second semester. We will be considerably online for second semester. Our plans in biomedicine is to try and give people certainty about how we'll be delivering our offerings. And that will be when we can teach online, we will continue to do so. The reason for that is, we're not certain when we may be able to come back on campus in great numbers. And there's also some possibility that if we did come back, we may have to leave campus again if the epidemic or pandemic took off again. So we think it's best at this stage that we plan for staying online in second semester when we can, to give everyone that certainty and to help us develop the best teaching offerings that we are able to at this stage. The university does have plans to phase return to campus for students. And if that is a possibility, we will try and get students back who really require an on-campus experience. So for example, our practical subjects where we have to get back in laboratories or other campus-based activities would be those that are prioritised. But we don't anticipate that happening till sort of mid-semester in the middle of next semester. So that's how our plans are. We hope it all goes according to that route. But again, thank you for your cooperation this year. And I'll now hand you back to Karina. Thanks very much.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ian. That's really great to have an overview of what we're doing at the moment and what we're looking forward to in semester two, and particularly in relation to the developments in teaching and learning over the coming years in terms of student activities and online activities. So I'd now like to throw over to my colleague, Heather Verkade. She's an Associate Professor in Biochemistry and Molecular Biology Department, and also the Deputy 2IC for the Teaching and Learning Committee for the school. So welcome, Heather.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone who has any questions, please post them into the chat. If there's anything in particular that you don't think you've had enough information about and you just wanted to clarify, we'll clarify if that's possible. And I just wanted to say at the moment, what we're all doing, especially in teaching and learning, which is the part of the school that you get to experience the most, is we're all working on trying to make second semester a really, really high quality online offering, because of course in first semester, as everyone's aware, we had to put everything together really quite fast, and it was a big learning curve for all of the staff as well as a learning curve for all of the students. And so there was quite a lot of messiness that we've had to get through together, and for second semester we've got a lot more time to plan, and that's what we're doing now. And so we're looking at how we can offer much better online offerings so that you'll get a much more streamlined and planned and designed second semester offering for your online subjects. And we're also planning as soon as we can to get people back into the practical classes, because I think the students and the staff find it very frustrating to be teaching pracs but not be able to get back into the practical classes in the laboratories. And so that's our top priority in terms of our physically being on campus, is being able to get back into the laboratories. So yeah, especially with new Canvas, we've got a comment there. Yeah, that was just, I think that switching to a new learning management system, it's always a little bit of fun and games trying to figure out exactly what you're doing. And it just turned out to be really, really bad timing that it happened at the same time as COVID-19. So that nobody knew that was going to happen. But yeah, continue to give your coordinators feedback on where you find things confusing or where you find things work better or not as well, because we're really finding that useful to get that kind of information. So we have a question there. Will there be further consultations with the wider community? So you've had one feedback mechanism with students. Hopefully you received an email from the central university asking you to give feedback on your particular subjects, and we've actually received the feedback for all of our subjects. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really useful, because we don't really know unless you tell us, of course. The other things you can do is you can put feedback on the discussion boards in your subjects, and you can email your coordinator directly as well, especially if there's suggestions of things that they may not have realised. That's very useful. I'm not quite sure what you mean with wider community though. Karina, did you have anything more to add on that, on consultations?
No, I'd just encourage the students to take advantage of the mechanisms that you've mentioned, the discussion boards, direct communication with the subject coordinators to seek why things are the way they are, if they've got questions about that, and to have their questions answered.
And I'll add as well, there will be another questionnaire, we know, at the end of semester, so that you'll have another chance to give your feedback. Now that things are running fairly regularly every week, you'll be able to tell us what you think works best, what you think doesn't work very well. And we already know some of the things that don't work very well, like old lecture recordings, for example. And that's one of the things that we're improving for second semester, so that we can have things that are really designed and up to the minute, rather than having to rely on things that aren't always ideal.
Yeah. So I guess some perfect examples of students feeding back some concerns is that through various different channels, academics across the university and within our own school have received feedback about concerns of lecture times running over the scheduled time, the timetable time. And so that is really useful information for the students to provide back to their academics, and that's been passed on to the relevant subject coordinators to try and ensure where possible that the classes remain within the timetable times, particularly for live Zoom lectures and alike. So that's a perfect example of providing appropriate feedback and that being actioned by the subject coordinators. Absolutely.
And we know that the timetable, once it's released, will be, although it will look like a timetable for a physical campus, it will still be mostly online classes, but we are planning to stick to that timetable. So if you do have clashes between different things, that is something to pay attention to. I know that you're not physically in two places at once, but you also can't be online in two places at once. So that's still something to look at in your timetable for second semester.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Really, really good point. So I guess one of the other concerns that students have fed back to through various different channels are concerns over assessment and particularly about information around assessment. So I would encourage students, if you have any particular concerns or questions about assessment in your subjects, do get in contact with your relevant subject coordinators and ask those questions. Because as a university, the subject coordinators have been asked to provide that information for you as to outline your assessment for the remainder of the semester, and particularly to give you some idea of the type of platform that your end of semester exam might be occurring on. So if those details haven't reached your inbox yet, I'm sure they will over the coming few days, if not week or two. So you can certainly express those questions to your subject coordinators. And in terms of the end of semester exam period, your exams will be timetabled in the regular fashion. You'll have set times during which your exams are offered for you. So do make sure you keep an eye out for those notifications in the coming days as the university finalises its timetable and releases that information.
And in fact, I'll add to that, any student who is in a different time zone, if your time zone is dramatically different from Australia's, it's a good idea to just let your coordinator know, because it might be that your exam times need to be adjusted or that needs to be taken into consideration. Not for every exam, but there might be some situations where that has to happen. And in fact, for some students, I guess I didn't know that some of my students were in a different time zone until they contacted me. So sometimes it's a little bit of a mystery when you're coordinating a large class as to where exactly everybody is, because you just think, well, everybody's online, but actually people are in different countries.
Yeah, everyone's online, but in different locations around the world.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting point there. So if demonstrators and tutors are involved in discussions, I think that's a really good point. So I know that some of the disciplines are starting to get more discussions with students for their second semester subjects, for their practical subjects, and with their demonstrators and tutors. And I think that's something that I'll send that message through all of the disciplines so that they can make sure that all of their demonstrators and tutors are getting some feedback from students directly, because I think that is a really, really good place to get information and to feedback information. Because, yeah, I understand that you may not want to tell your subject coordinator exactly what you think if you think something that's a little bit negative. But the other thing is, I must say, the emails that I've received this semester have actually been the politest that I've ever received. I think everybody's being really particularly nice to each other. I've been getting a lot of feedback saying, I'm very sorry to point this out, but I think this on your LMS is wrong. that's good as well. But we'll definitely pass that information through, that students would like to have as much contact as possible with demonstrators and tutors. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, very good suggestion. All right, so perhaps we'll look forward to semester two in terms of what our teaching and delivery might look like. Professor Ian Vandrill outlined what that might look like in broad brushstrokes, but I'm just wondering, Heather, if you might like to add anything to what Ian mentioned at the beginning.
Look, just to say that we have to plan to be flexible, and the pracs are where we're prioritising getting people back physically. But we know that it's all down to what the Victorian government decides, and that's based on the health information. So we really do need to design. So we are actually designing this in a flexible way, because we're hoping that we may, for example, in the second half of semester, get students back into pracs and have people nicely spaced out so that we can get some nice laboratory experience. If we can't, for whatever reason, for example, the pandemic flares up again, then we might have to do those entirely online. But we're also aware that we have to be very flexible for students who aren't able to return to Australia and so are required effectively to do the rest of the second semester online. So that's a consideration as well. So we are committed to allowing those students to continue online, even if there are some physical classes for some students. And the other thing is, of course, that we know students, some students might have medical issues where they're not comfortable going back into a class with other students because they have to consider their risk differently. Or they may, for example, live with somebody with medical conditions that they have to consider their safety as well. And so there's still a lot of variation in, I think, in what students are going to be doing in second semester. Even if there are physical laboratory classes, we know that there will be online options as well. And that's what we're planning for.
Yeah, I'm just reading through the chat, Heather, and our academic services manager has encouraged students to use an email address if they're somewhat wary of providing feedback to their subject coordinators directly. They can use the email address, which I'll show you on the last slide today, to send feedback through that email address, and that can then be provided onto the relevant subject coordinators and teaching departments in a confidential manner, so removing the student's identification details if that's the case. So that's another useful mechanism for students to be aware about in terms of passing feedback. So I'm aware that David Williams, our Program Director for Bachelor of Biomedicine and also Head of Teaching and Learning in the school, is here, and I've noticed he's unmuted his mic. So I'm just wondering if he has some words of advice and commentary that he'd like to add to the conversation.
No, look, I can't add to what you're doing. I've had a few ongoing chats with some of the students about some of their questions and stuff like that, and I'm interested in their perspectives. And I've just been writing to Betty, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying, Betty's on the move, obviously, and probably on a small device. And I'm really interested about things like reception. And if we're building stuff for the future, you know, we'll have students not just all over the place, but on different devices, different challenges. So I was just going to let Betty know, and I'll save the trouble now, whether she's applied for a dongle. The university's got a lot of sort of 5G, 4G type better devices that are available to students. And if you're having trouble at home with reception and bandwidth, and or you're competing with your colleagues in your accommodation, apply for it. You know, it's worth it. They're free, so please do so.
Yeah.
Guys, I'll go back to anonymity in the background now.
And that's really important information to be aware about. So it pays as students and also as staff members at the university to be aware of the coronavirus updates page, which you can link to from the main homepage of the University of Melbourne. Has a lot of really useful information for both students and staff about the services that are available that you might wish to access, the support mechanisms that are available to support your academic endeavours, including internet services, but also special consideration requirements. Information is there and updated regularly.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like there's just too much information, but to be perfectly honest, it is worthwhile hunting some of these out because it is worthwhile getting things problems sorted as soon as they arise, and just maybe being a little bit noisier of a student than you might normally be, giving feedback, asking questions, all of these sorts of things. It's exactly what we need to make sure that everybody is getting information. In fact, one thing, this is just a small example, but one thing I've discovered is that with Canvas, the notifications don't necessarily go out to all students if they turn their notifications off. So that's been a source of frustration because Canvas sort of spams you at the beginning, and then you end up turning off the notifications and you might miss really important information. So that's something I'd recommend, is just going into your Canvas settings and make sure that you are receiving the notifications that you need, because you don't want to miss any of those, the really important ones.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Heather. Really, really good point. I'm just looking down at our little jot list of items that we might want to touch on today. And one of them is about requirements and entry requirements into graduate professional health programs such as medicine and others. So I'm not specifically aware of the the procedures and the requirements in that area. But any students who would want more information, I'd strongly encourage you to get in contact with the faculty's MDHS Learning and Teaching Hub. And those staff would be best placed to answer your questions. And David might have something to add because he's just made himself visible there.
Just noting there's a couple of our colleagues are online with us. So Amy, Alice, Emily, etc. It's a very active group in the Health Hub, the Learning and Teaching Unit. I don't know. I know there's a lot of questions I field all the time and refer to those guys. I don't know whether you guys want to say anything to just anticipate that, you know, this is a brewing issue. Things are underway. They'll hear from you in the future, or whether I'm just stirring up a pot that doesn't need to be stirred at the moment. So,
well, I think at the moment, I think they're still making. They're still making those decisions.
They are. If there is any sort of update on the timing of when we may hear, et cetera, because from my understanding, obviously GEMSAS is independent of the uni. We don't trade in GPA, trade in WAM. And there are 9 member universities, I think, basically all doing different things, you know, with regard to their marks. So
As soon as we hear information, then we'll feed it through. But it's also a good idea to go directly to the Health Hub here, which is, there's an email address that's just been put up there in the chat. There's a question there I think I'd like to address there. So someone asking, is it necessary for international students to stay in Melbourne next semester? So at the moment, what we're doing is we're committing that every student who can't be in Melbourne will have a fully online experience, including assessment for all of the subjects within our school. Okay, so Ian, would you like to confirm that that is indeed the case? David, want to confirm that? Oh, David's frozen. All right, well, we won't be talking to David then.
I can confirm that yes, we will be providing support for students that are located overseas so that they can continue in their subjects. However, if you are in Melbourne and can stay in Melbourne, we do recommend that you do stay in Melbourne, because that way if any classes return on campus, even if it's just practical classes and your lectures are still online, you're here to be able to attend those.
Thanks, Gillian. Yep.
That's really useful information. Sorry, I was just copying and pasting over the Health Hub email address into my next slide so that everyone can see that up on the screen when I share it. So in the interest of time, now might be a really good time for me to share my next slide, because it will allow us to show you visually some important information. So hopefully, why is this not doing what it's supposed to do? Hopefully you've all been made aware that there's a biomedical sciences community hub that operates through Canvas that you can join. So this community hub is available for both Bachelor of Biomedicine and also Bachelor of Science students who are studying subjects through the School of Biomedical Sciences. So it's a really great resource for you to sign up to. It's a simple addition into your Canvas Canvas LMS online platform, and it allows you to keep up to date with various announcements and other interesting activities that are happening within our school, the biomedical sciences. So some of those emails that we have mentioned during this session that you might want to take advantage and note down is this first one, the Biomedical Sciences Academic Services email address, which goes through to our academic services team for our school. That's the email address that you can either email and include your student ID number to gain access to this community hub, but you can also email this email address if you want to provide anonymous feedback onto your subject coordinators about your experiences in teaching and learning and your subjects during this period of online delivery. The other email that was mentioned during the course of our session today was the email address of the Health Hub, and so you can get in contact with staff members at the Health Hub who are best positioned to answer your questions about graduate entry requirements and any adjustments to those, if there are any, regarding COVID impacts for such professional graduate degrees as health, medicine and other other appropriate degrees. So there's one final little point down here on this slide, and that's to make everyone aware that there's a biomedical student society. And for biomedical students, you can, Bachelor of Biomedicine students, you can follow and join this society by getting onto the Facebook page of Biomed Bear. And so that will keep biomedical students up to date with their news in relation to this. The society. So sorry, I was just a little bit thrown with what my computer screen has thrown at me. I'll exit my slides sharing there for the time being, and we can head back to seeing everyone. So in the dying minutes of this session, we've got a couple of minutes to go. Heather, did you have any final points that you'd like to offer as a wrap up?
No, not in particular.
No.
And the good thing is that you can get out and enjoy the sunshine now, over the weekend. I hope everyone got some sunshine.
Yeah. Make the most of the sunshine before the weather coming this week. It looks a bit dreary for a couple of days. So.
The other good thing is that you can also, if you wanted to, and if you were able to find a good space for it, set up small study groups now. I mean, you need to maintain social distancing, but we are now able to have some visits. So if you can do it online, I recommend study groups online is a really good way to keep connected. But if you did want to have a few, then people in the restrictions are able to visit each other now, just keep social distancing.
Yep, absolutely. That's a really good point. A really good point for us to get to at this end of the presentation is to be mindful of everyone's well-being and to make sure that everyone's happy and healthy and doing the best they can in this online environment. So I'll throw it open to our attendees today. Are there any final questions that you'd like us to try and address before we draw today's session to a close? Just having a look in the chat function, nothing's popping up. So I guess at this point in time, we'd like to say thank you all for joining us today. It's really wonderful to see so many of you here. A quick reminder that today's session is recorded, and we'll make that recording available through the Biomedicine Community Hub that I just mentioned. So if you haven't already signed up to that, please do. And we look forward to seeing you again at some point in the future with another BYO Coffee with Heather and Karina. So thank you all for coming.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Stay safe, stay well.